in the squad to go to Warrington on Thursday night. How severe is that knee injury that he suffered in the warm-up at the weekend?
We're just waiting for scans with Ollie just to confirm what it will be. So, yeah, we're hoping that we'll find out this afternoon. If not, it'll be early tomorrow morning. But, at this stage, he's obviously no good to go for Thursday.
How is he doing? Because he looked to be really struggling and looked very frustrated in terms of how it came about the weekend.
Yeah, he's naturally frustrated. No player likes getting injured, especially in a warm-up. It was aggravating him a little bit, but then he just felt something. Natural for a player to feel frustrated. It's normal emotion, and he's not too bad this week. He's just obviously waiting to see the severity of it.
James Batchelor and Elliot Minchella are included, though. Let's start with James and that eye issue. What happened there, and how is he looking for the Warrington game?
He's okay. He just had some blurred vision from he got poked in the eye and then had blurred vision. So it's settling down. Same with Minnie. We need to wait till pretty much tomorrow and make a decision on that. And then we'll work out who will go over and play Warrington. We've got we've named him in the squad at the moment, but we need to probably look at another 24 hours before we make a final decision.
And Elliot Minchella as well, he said at the weekend that 5 days may not be long enough for him. So how's he looking with the groin injury that he suffered?
Yeah, exactly the same. I mean, he's named in the squad, so there's a potential chance he'll play, but we'll know more within the next 24 hours. First day come back in today and first day on their feet. So, yeah, we'll know more tomorrow once we do some more testing with him.
Have any other injuries come out of the St Helens win on Saturday?
Yeah, a few niggles. No doubt you start to get more and more this time of the year. So, most teams have got them, don't they? So it's mainly just niggles, and we've got a short turnaround, so we just freshen the guys up, and we'll be ready to go.
Elsewhere, no Tom Opacek in the 17 at the weekend. What was the reason behind that?
Ollie Gildart was in the 17. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How big a dilemma then have you got?
Ollie played the week before.
Yeah. How big a dilemma have you got at centre then with Jack Broadbent's impact there on debut?
Yeah, it's a decision now we've got to make. Obviously, Tom has done the job previously and Jack did a really good job on the weekend. So, yeah, it's a decision that we need to make with the coaches, which I'll do every week. It's the same process. I'll get five other opinions and then we'll look at and work out who the best option is.
Looking back to Saturday, how much confidence is that given you being able to put 40 points past what had been, the meanest defence in Super League?
Yeah, I mean, for me, confidence sort of comes and goes. I think the players now are starting to get that belief, and they've got that belief because of what... I go back to pre-season, they worked extremely hard in the pre-season, and for me, it's starting to come out now of the benefits of that and what they did there. So, we're happy with how we play, but we certainly know there's still improvement in us. There's no doubt about that. There's some periods there in that game, after we score, we let two tries in on the bounce. That's not, where we want to be. So that's the exciting part for us, just knowing there is still improvement. But we're certainly happy with what we did, but now the focus goes to Warrington.
How do you go about making those improvements in light of those errors that you made immediately after scoring in the first half?
Yeah, obviously you highlight them, we show the players, and then we work out where we went wrong and then what we need to do going forward. That's in a video, but then go out and practice it. That's the key. You need to go out and put the players in different scenarios and different situations, put them in the same situations what they're in, and that's the best way to learn, and so we don't do it again. And, we're going to have errors. It's all part of the game, and the way we play, you're certainly going to have errors, but you just don't want those unforced errors, but if you do, you need to defend them.
Before the game, you spoke to us about maybe still in some quarters being written off. Do you feel that win has now really made people sit up and take notice that see you now as true title contenders?
Oh, look, no disrespect, but it doesn't matter too much what outside people say and media say. I mean, obviously, it's part of your job and the media's job to discuss how teams are going and say whether they're contenders or pretenders, but you don't win a comp or you don't make finals or you don't know where you're at, or you can get a gauge of where you're at, but around 10, 11, 12, if you're flying and then you go the other end, the back end of the year, is it a successful season? So, you know, for us, we want to keep building and keep consistent with the performances that we know we can bring. And the last 2 weeks, we've been consistent with that, but we certainly know we can improve. And as I say, that's the internally, that's the challenge for us. Not so much a challenge. That's the key thing for us is to make sure that we keep working hard and keep consistent with what we're doing, but keep improving in areas that we need to.
There's obviously flagged up at the weekend, all of the top six level on 14 points now after round 10. How much do you feel that this Super League is there for the taking for you or anyone else this season?
Yeah, I mean, every team wants to go in it or should be going in it to think that they can win the competition. So you've got six teams now that on the same amount of points, but then you've got Huddersfield and Leeds just behind. So it's a really tight competition, and that's what makes our competition great. You know, we're getting, I think it's getting better and better every year now, and it'll only continue to do that. You know, the salary cap obviously helps, even the competition out, and the players that are coming over from NRL are quality, but it's the development that is the key area here. You know, the development, I think, you know, there's some very good coaches now in the academy systems from all, you know, different clubs. You know, we're working extremely hard in our academy. We've got a really good core group of our scholarship players coming through. So that's the key areas that we need to get right as a game over here, and keep working on the development of our younger players, because then we'll have a product and a competition even the way it is. And that's what fans want to see. And, you know, that's what players enjoy, playing in those big, tough games and those competitive games. So, just keep developing the younger players, and we'll keep having a good competition.
Warrington Wolves up next. After 10 rounds, how big of a contender do you think they are?
Yeah, they're going along well. We knew they would. I knew they would. I mean, obviously, know the coach very well. And, you know, they're going on well, but they're tracking, you know, along nicely. But again, I don't want to talk too much about Warrington and what they can do. It's pretty much focusing on our area and what we can do. And we're looking forward to going over on Thursday night and just being consistent with our performances and building on what we've done.
Tight defeat when you last met back in March. Does that perhaps sum up how close these two sides are this season?
Yeah, as we said, it's the competition's really close. So Warrington are a good team. There's a lot of good teams in the competition, and we are too. So it's one of those that we need to go over there and, as I said, be consistent with what we've worked on and see where that takes us, because, yeah, it's a new challenge for us. We've moved on from last week and we're looking forward to it.
I was going to ask, since that Warrington game, 7 wins from the last 8, where do you feel that you've really kicked on since that defeat?
Look, I think we've been pretty consistent overall with the way we've played. And we had an inconsistent performance against Catalans, and that's something that we speak about internally. You know, it's not always based on result. I get it. It's we're in the business of winning games. We understand that, but we also understand that if you're consistent with your performances, then, you know, more than likely you're going to win more than you loss, but then you lose. So for us, it's, yeah, about being consistent. I think we have, but as I said, we've still got you know, a lot of improvement in us. It's only sort of early doors in the season still. There's still so much to play, and we just need to keep working hard what we're doing at training and keep competing for spots, you know, have that healthy competition for spots where players don't get complacent, because I think that can be the biggest thing that can bring teams back. When, you know, if you go to a game just content and just happy to be in the team, then you're going to be in the wrong end of the scoreboard. So we always focus on just being consistent with our performance.
And when you look back on the kicking in that defeat back in March, how much could it make a difference on this occasion?
I think they had poor kicks as well, so it wasn't the kicking. And I think they might have scored. Yeah, they had 5 tries. I think the 4 from memory. I'm not 100% sure, but that game, you know, we obviously didn't do enough. We had a poor start to that game, and then that last try was just way too soft the way they scored. So we know we're not far off. We just got to fix a couple of things. Obviously, having a better start would certainly help. But you know, Mikey's kicking well, and you know, as I said from the start, our kickers are going to work hard. They come in on their day off. They work extremely hard. So some days we're going to have good days with that, and then others, you know, it's like any kicker, you may not. But we don't want to be relying on our goal kicking. We want to be relying on what we do inside of that.
And just finally for me, Willie, you mentioned earlier about guarding against complacency with that Challenge Cup semi-final coming up next weekend. How important is it to continue to build that momentum going into that game?
Yeah, I'll be honest, like I mean, even saying internally, if you know some people are talking about things about next week, it's honestly, it's this week. That's the sole focus for us. Like we're playing 2 days' time, and then we'll see how we're going after that. And hopefully, you know, we're talking around a consistent performance that we've had. That's the aim for this week.
Willie, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, Willie. How are you doing?
Good, mate. You, mate?
Not bad. Not bad. Just touching on that a little bit, you've never struck me as the sort of coach who has one eye on the week ahead when picking a team too often. You know, you go to win every week. Is it fair to suggest in a week where all four semi-finalists play each other in reverse fixtures and they may take different approaches, you won't be making changes with one eye on a semi-final?
Yeah, definitely not. We're worried about this week and this week only. It's I think last year, there was a time that we had niggles, but we rested some players, and you've got to get your learnings from different situations, and that's probably one area that I learnt last year. Just worry about the week ahead. You know, that's the most important, because rugby league, anything can happen, can't it? You know, there's so much can happen in a game. We just want to – I know it can be cliche, but I need to live it, and we need to live it by worrying about the week ahead, and we'll pick the team, the best team available for this week that we believe. As I said, I've got five other coaches that help pick a team, and, most of the time, majority sort of rules, and I'll have the end say, but I'm pretty comfortable with the decisions that they make.
Just looking at some stats across Super League, you're top for tries scored, top for offloads, top for clean breaks, top for dummy runs. Basically, a lot of the attacking stats you're at the top of the competition for. I know you pride yourself a lot in your defence, but reeling off those stats, you must be satisfied with that, especially given how much conversation there was around the first 3-4 weeks about your attack and what it is, you know. All the key indicators at the minute suggest you're the best attacking team in the league.
I was going to say, remember after round three? look, mate, for us, mate, we do focus on our defence. Like, we certainly work hard on our attack as well. So, you know, we'd certainly swap that stat to have defence as number one, but certainly nice to have, to be there at the moment. As I said, we've certainly got work an improvement in us in both defence and attack. So we just need to keep working hard. The players, and the spine have a big part of what we do. And, Minnie's been great in the middle there. And, yeah, it's working well in terms of the connections, and it was always going to take a bit of time. But we like to think that we still have, improvement in us.
Just on one last from me. You said judges after 10 games and we'll have a better idea. We're 10 rounds in. So what have you learned about this team and what they can't do, what they are very good at, what they maybe can be better at, so on and so forth?
I think with the group that we've got here is if you give them a task and a challenge in certain areas, that they will achieve it. If that they're very good at being able to look at something and go, okay, we weren't great in that area, we need to fix it. They'll go out in the training field, fix it, work on it, and then they'll fix it that weekend after. And I think that's a really good sign with the group. They're very – we've got no – what's the word I'm looking for? I've got to be careful here. All good people. There's a lot of good people in the club with players. So I think that's the most important thing. I know we've got a really, really good group of people. And when you do that, you can – and you've got a vision, you can work towards it together. We don't have anyone pulling the other direction or not on board with where we want to head. So I think that's the main one for me. You know, having a really, really good group of people, and I'll say great people in amongst the club from the top down, but especially the playing group. And they work hard. There's no doubt about that. They work hard. They're all hungry. You know, the work on is every day in terms of, you know, after a game, you know, there's things in the game. No one's ever going to have the perfect game, and you don't want to because there's no ending, is there? Like, when I say you don't want to, you strive to, but what's the perfect game? So, you know, the only game that we weren't proud of this year is Catalans. We've been in every other game, but that means nothing. It's 10 rounds and we're equal with six other teams that are doing similar to us. So, you know, we're definitely not above anyone else in the competition. We know where we sit.
Cheers, Willie. Thank you.
Cheers, Matt.
Hey, Willie. How are you doing?
Hey, James. Good, mate. You?
Yeah, good, thank you. Matt mentioned those stats just then, and a lot of people have said how much they enjoyed Saturday's game. How important to you is that entertainment side?
Yeah, it is. It's extremely important. We're in the entertainment business, so, you know, when I first came over, that was one thing that I did say, like, as much as you don't want errors and you don't want drop balls and all that sort of stuff, we need to play an entertaining brand of rugby. You know, people come to watch. A lot of people come to watch attack. I get that. But we want to be a team now that our fans know that we're a defensive-focused team first, and they appreciate, which they are, they appreciate when you're stopping tries. They appreciate when you're locking teams in their own half and putting them under pressure. But we certainly let the players play with freedom, and then they just need to know when to play with discipline, when not to. And we probably got that wrong a couple of times on the weekend, especially in that first half, but I certainly think we had a great balance in that second half. And but as I said, yeah, we're in the entertainment business and we're not going to be a team that just takes five carries and a kick.
Yeah. In previous years, it was all about OKR's left edge. How happy are you with the balance now and the number of threats you've got on both edges?
Yeah, that's the key, mate, to having a strong attack. He's been a threat on both sides. I mean, teams will, you know, preview and look for different trends and things that you're doing. And our job is to not give them any. You know, we're based around, I know eyes up footy can be a bit of a cliche, but eyes up footy to us is literally that, is when we see an opportunity, have a reason for taking it, and then we take it and execute it. So, you know, we can be difficult to game plan, I believe, because like you say, we are a threat on either side. We're not one side dominant. And when you are one side dominant, you can have a system, or you can have a plan around stopping that. So, you know, that's what we strive to do, is being able to be a threat on either side of the ruck, and then most importantly through the middle, because being direct is what you need to do first and foremost, and then you can start to go lateral. But yeah, we're happy with where we're heading with it.
Yeah, you've had some good tussles with Warrington during your time at the club, but you've yet to come out on top. What would a win on Thursday away at a rival club do for belief?
Yeah, it just added that extra layer, won't it? I mean, again, what we're talking about now is more around performances. Like, it doesn't matter where we play. You know, we'll judge ourselves around what was that performance like. You know, we need to have a mentality that doesn't matter who we play, where we play, that we're consistent with our performance. And I think you can get carried away with, oh, you need to win away and you need to do this. And it's about, honestly, it's about performance. And whether we played Wigan away or St Helens away, on the weekend, and we play like that, you know, or whether we play at home, that's where we want to get to. You know, we want to go to Warrington this week and another layer to that. But it's just having a really, really strong performance. And then if you do that, then more than likely you get a result. So, and that's, you know, most teams would say that, but that's we're no different.
So thank you, Willie. All the best.
Cheers, James.
Cheers, mate.
Hey, Willie, you all right?
All right, mate. You, Gary?
Yeah, good, thank you. Just a quick follow-up on Ollie Gilder. Are you suspecting or expecting to not be able to call him for a while?
Possibly. There's a possibility. We'll know more this afternoon or tomorrow.
And just on to Warrington. Now we're 10 games in. Like, the initial bump of the new coach is probably gone now, but Warrington have showed real progress. Does that surprise you with Sam in charge?
No, not at all. I mean, I know Sam for a long time and I knew what Sam would bring. I mentioned at the start of the year. So, no surprise whatsoever. You know, Sam's doing a really good job there with his staff and, you know, they're a good team.
Going back to, again, you probably talked about this at the start of the year, but what was Sam like to work with when he was a player? Is it surprising that he sort of jumped into coaching, seems to be adapting so easily, so well?
No, not a surprise at all. I mean, I've mentioned it before. Sam is one of the best leaders Andy Farrell was. Sam Burgess was. Two English guys are two of the best that I've seen. exceptional. The way he could get the group together and he led with his actions. So there's no surprise whatsoever. Sam knows what he wants, and you can see that, you know, in the way Warrington are playing, and so it's no surprise to me.
For want of a better phrase, was he almost like a playing coach? Like he was essentially a coach on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think these days what you wanted to try and create, the days of dictatorship in terms of the coach saying this is what we have to do, this is what we are doing, you know, the way society is and youth is these days, it doesn't work. So what you want to try and create is players have a lot of input in terms of, you know, how you want to do things, standards, behaviours, and then at the end of the day, they're the ones that action, or we all action it. But so Sam probably just bought that earlier, and as a coach, you let them go. When you've got leaders like that, you let them go. You might not be blessed to have certain leaders like Sam Burgess, so you need to educate them, you need to teach them. But Sam had that, you know, and we're certainly getting those leaders in our club that, you know, drive the standards and drive the behaviours and things like that. And Sam, as I said, he led through his actions.
As well as the leadership and not being afraid to give it to his teammates, did he show almost like that tactical nous as well?
Yeah, Sam has a really good understanding of the game for a prop, or he was a lock, he was a back rower. So he, you know, he's played in a few different positions, but he played a certain way, and that was with intent. That's how he loved to play. It was hard, but Sam was smart. Sam knew, how to break a team down. You know, he'd leave it most of the time to the likes of Cody and Adam Reynolds and players like that. But he certainly, he's a smart guy for a middle forward.
And when there were occasions when you almost like disagreed with him, and obviously Sam's not a small fellow, is he? Was there occasions where you're like, oh, blimey, I'm going to disagree with Sam Burgess, he's bigger than me?
I had to jump on a chair and get a bat or something like that. That's what I had to do. Sam was, because the good thing about Sam is, and when you have players and leaders like that, it's a discussion, and you're not always going to agree, are you? Like, they're the best environments. You don't want to always agree with how you do things. It's conversation, and then you disagree and commit. You know, there's not once. I remember when there was Wayne Bennett and Anthony Seibold had the swap. I looked after the squad for 2 weeks before Wayne come down, and Sam and I were pretty much running the show together, and Sam was a player, so he was a great support for me. So I knew then that Sam would be he was going to be a coach, and you know, we had a really good relationship then, and we got through those 2 weeks, and then the master came down, and that was it.
Cheers, Wayne. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Cheers. Thanks.